All right. That's more like it. This is what I need you guys to do. Look straight this way. Turn and look. Everyone, we're going to get into this selfie. Everyone say, River Point. All right, perfect. Thank you for doing that. I wanted to take a memory home with you. I'm going to just say this. It has been an honor to be here and to speak into your life. I want to say this. All the parents that are here tonight, thank you for sending your kids to camp. And thank you for allowing us to pour into them. Hopefully, they learned about Jesus. Last night was impactful in this place. I want to tell you, you guys have the best kids in the world. I'm not only saying that because I was born in Missouri. I think the people in Missouri are the best. That's just all there is. I want to say thank you to everybody. Let's do this. If you are a counselor, or you are an intern, or you are a worker, or you worked in the snack shack, or you worked in the kitchen, will you stand? Just stand. Students, can we give all these guys a hand? Awesome. You guys can be seated. I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you to the bishops and the district leadership for allowing me to come here. And I'm also thankful for Becca and Brandon for inviting me to come. And it's an honor to be here. And I tell you what, it is just so cool to see all you guys tonight. Everyone look at your neighbor, smile real big. Say hey. Look at your neighbor on the other side. Look at your neighbor on the other side who you don't like as much. Say, I'm sorry I didn't pick you first. All right. All right, guys, the last couple nights. Let me get your eyes. Hey, the last couple of nights, guys, the first night we talked about, who did we talk about? We talked about who? Real fast. Who did we talk about?
Lot and Abraham.
Lot and Abraham. And Abraham had a promise on his life, and Lot was just everywhere that Abraham went, Lot followed him, and God told Abraham to leave his home country and to leave his family. And Lot was part of his family, and he didn't do that. But once he got rid of Lot, once Lot got out of his life, guess what? The blessing began to flow in his life, right? All right. And last night, we talked about insecurities. Last night, I want to say thank you to all of you guys for being so vulnerable to God. That wasn't very easy. You guys are all brave for doing that. We faced insecurity. We talked about how Jeremiah was called by God, and his two excuses were, God, I'm too young, and God, I don't know how to speak. And God said, don't worry about your age, and I'll put the words in your mouth. And we know that God, when he called you, and I believe everybody in here has a calling of God on their life. When God called Jeremiah, the scripture says that he knew him, he formed him, he set him apart, and then he called him, he appointed him. And I believe that God has an appointment and God has a calling for each of you, and he has set you apart. He knew you before you were born, and he formed you. And I love that. And so, and tonight, guys, I want to address something, because what happens oftentimes when we're at camp is we have these God moments and God moves in our hearts and we feel the tug of the Holy Spirit and we respond, and that's good. But oftentimes what happens is when we leave this place, we go back home and we get around our normal life. We aren't going to church every night, and we get our cell phones back. Some of you are pretty excited about getting your cell phone back, right? We get our cell phones back, and all the distractions start to happen again. What happens is we leave here and we lose the experience. My goal tonight, I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach tonight, but my goal is to leave you guys with something that's applicable that you could take home and you could put it to work to keep your life going for Christ. All right, you guys with me? If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right, you guys are good. I want you to, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in the book of Leviticus. It's like, who preaches out of Leviticus at a junior high camp? This guy. Leviticus chapter 6. If you don't, hey, how many of you guys brought your Bible tonight? Hold it up. All right. How many brought your phone Bible? All right, all the adults. If you're a student, raise it, you're in trouble. All right. It says this in Leviticus chapter 6. It says, there's a few key phrases I want to pull out of this. There's a whole lot of information here, but there's a few key phrases I want to pull out. It says this: Then the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the burnt offering. The burnt offering must be left on top of the altar until the next morning, and the fire on the altar must be kept burning all night. Everyone say, all night. In the morning, after the priest on duty has put on his official linen clothing and his linen undergarments, he had to put on his priestly underwear underneath there, he must clean out the ashes of the burnt offering and put them beside the altar. Then he must take off of these garments, change back into his regular clothes, and carry the ashes outside the camp to the place that is ceremonially clean. Look at this, verse 12. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. Everyone say, must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire. Everyone say, add fresh wood to the fire. And arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar. Everyone say, remember, the fire must be kept burning. The last part of this is, it must never go out. Can you say, it must never go out? I want to talk to you guys tonight on this simple subject of it must not go out. It must not go out. Will you bow your heads with me? God, thank you for this awesome week. God, thank you for the opportunity to speak into young people's lives. God, people with purpose, people with passion, people who are going to do great things for you. God, I ask tonight, Lord, that as I bring this word, Lord, I pray, Lord, that it would be given in a way that's simplistic. God, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide me. God, I pray, Lord, that the anointing of your word would go forth. God, that our hearts would be open. God, that seeds would be planted. God, and lives would be changed forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right. So how many people here live out in the country? All right. How many of you guys live in the city? All right. All right. I'm from Indiana, and I live out in the country. And when I live out in the country, I have some acreage. Anybody got any acreage? All right. And on my property, I got lots of trees. And what happens when a storm comes along or every once in a while a tree will die, dead limbs fall out of the sky, right? Anybody ever have that problem? And so, well, some of you, does your parents make you pick up the limbs that fall? All right, a few of you. All right, a few of you can relate. But on my property, this is what I have to do. I have to go and I have to get these limbs. And sometimes they're big. Sometimes I got to get a chainsaw. Yeah, and I cut them up. And in the process, what I'll do is I have a big fire pit. How many of you guys have fire pits at your house? All right. We're not having s'mores tonight. I'm sorry, guys. Not here. All right. But listen, so I have this big fire pit at my house. And what I do is I cut up the logs, and then I just begin to put them on the fire. And what often happens to me when I'm doing work like that is I'll cut it up, and then I'll divert my attention to somewhere else. I'll start a fire, and I'll put my attention somewhere else. I may go inside, and I may start watching TV, or I might start mowing the lawn. And the next thing I know is I'm busy and I'm preoccupied, and I look over at my fire pit and I see that my fire is about to go out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. And here's the thing. It's my responsibility when I start that fire to keep that fire going. If I don't keep feeding that fire, guess what? That fire will consume itself. It will disappear, right? One time I was going to make some steaks on my grill. And you know what I did? I fired up my grill. I turned it up. I seasoned my steaks. I was ready to go. And I went and I threw my steaks on the grill. I closed it. I went inside. I came back to check on my steaks. And wouldn't you believe it, my propane ran out. Anybody ever had that happen? Man, that was frustrating. because I had stakes that were not even close to done. But we went to plan B. But what happens is, and what I had to realize is I didn't check the source of where the fire would have come from. And if I would have checked the source, guess what? I would have known that I was low on propane and that I needed to go get a new tank. And oftentimes when we leave a place and once God's done something in our lives, we expect it to just last forever and ever and ever. But let me tell you something. If you don't feed it, if you don't dig into the source and find out where your strength is coming from, you're gonna lose it, all right? Are you guys with me? Say, I'm with you. All right, good. So I want to give you guys five things, just five things tonight. Everyone say five things. This is going to be real easy. Everyone put up a one. All right, good. Here's number one. Five things that you could take home that are going to keep the fire burning. Number one is passion for souls. Everyone say passion for souls. What does that mean? What does that mean, TJ? Passion for souls. Passion for people. You know what? When I came in here, do you remember what I told you guys when I got here? I said, I want you to know the Jesus that is inside of me. I want you to understand that he loves you. You can put your hands down. You're good. I want you to know that God has a plan for you, that God cares about you, that God loves you. And you know what our job is? Once we come to know Jesus, it's our job to tell everyone else about Jesus. In Proverbs, there's a verse in chapter 11, verse 30 that says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. That's somebody who tells other people about Jesus. I'm going to simplify it for you. You know, my friend, where's Pastor Brad? Where you at? Right here, over here. Pastor Brad, I'm going to steal your saying. He makes this statement a lot. And this statement that he says is, let's make Jesus famous. He says it all the time. And you know what? I've adopted that in my life. I want to make Jesus famous. You are saved so you can make Jesus famous. That's your purpose. Your purpose is to let someone know that the Jesus in you loves the Jesus in them, and you need to just let them know that God has been good to you. See, I have a friend. I have a friend, me personally, all right? I have a friend. And listen, this is an amazing story. When she was 11 and 12, how many of you guys are 11? How many of you are 12? I don't remember if she was 11 or 12, but when she was 11 or 12, she had this idea. She lived across the street from a church, and one day the church was doing something, and she decided to go over to the church, and she went over to the church without her parents. They knew she was going over there. She didn't go over by herself, but she went over there, and she attended this thing, and in the process, she gave her heart to Christ. 11 years old, gave her heart to Christ, and she went home, and she began to tell her parents about this Jesus that she knew. And the next thing you know, she invited them to church. They didn't go. She kept going when they had events, and she would go, and she invited them. And then finally, she talked to them, and she said, hey, I want you guys to go. And they walked across the street. They went into the church, and wouldn't you believe it, her parents gave their life to Christ. An 11-year-old had an impact on her parents. Can I tell you this, guys? You can have an impact. Remember, we talked about Jeremiah last night. He said, oh, I'm too young. God's not interested in a number. God's interested in a willing heart. Amen? All right. Someone grab one of these logs for me. I want you to put the log for the passion for souls in here. I'm going to make it easy on you guys. You may say, hey, TJ. No, hey, we might have a fire. I don't know. You'll just have to wait and see. Listen. You may say, hey, TJ, I don't know, you know, really how to tell someone about Jesus. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, how to do that. I'm going to make it real easy for you. You know what you can do? Invite your friend to youth group. Invite your friend to church with you. Invite your friend to the lock-in. Invite your friend to your youth nights, to your fifth quarters, and your things that you do at your church. Just invite them. And you know what? If you don't know how to lead people to Christ, let me tell you something. Your youth pastors can tell you. They want to tell you. All you got to do is ask them, okay? Here's point number two. Everyone say, a passion for souls. Good. Number two, a passion for holiness. I talked on this a little bit last night, holiness. Now, that's not very popular. A lot of people don't like to talk about that. But holiness, that word, It means to be set apart. Everyone say set apart. That means that God took, and like he did with Jeremiah, he set him apart. He pulled him out of the mold, and he said, I'm going to put him over here. He is not like the world. He is different than the world. He set them apart. Look at this. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, what? Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Some of you need to fix your thinking. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Talking about holiness, being set apart. God did not call you to just follow the world. We talked about compromise last night. We talked about the insecurity of compromise. And God did not call you, or acceptance. Oftentimes, we follow people because we want to be accepted. We know things, we're following them, and we know that they're not right, but yet we still follow them because we think just because someone's going to like me that it's worth it, right? And we dealt with that insecurity. Everyone say, we dealt with that insecurity last night. But, come on, say it. We dealt with that insecurity last night. Okay, good, good. You guys are with me. All right. But listen, holiness, that means to be set apart. That means different than the world. The world may be going this way, and you say, hey, but I need to follow Jesus. Be counterculture. Be different. The world's going this way. I said, I'm going to follow Jesus. Listen, God set you apart in this world. And you're in this world, but you don't have to be of this world. Let me say that again. You're in this world, but you don't have to be of this world. That means, hey, Christ in you, you have to exist here. You have to get along with people. Let me tell you something. Your mindset can be on what Christ has for you. Living for God with convictions and not sinning and standing for truth will build passion with you. Go ahead and throw on another log for me. Everyone say, the passion for holiness. Are you guys getting this? What's number one? Passion for what? Passion for? Passion for souls? Come on, do it. Passion for souls?
Passion for souls.
Passion for holiness.
Passion for holiness.
Here's number three. Passion for godly relationships. Oh, no. Man, it was cool till you said that, TJ. Why would you say that? See, I've always heard this and these cliche things that we hear about this, but can I tell you they're true? You are who you hang out with. Birds of a feather flock together, right? You are who you hang out with, and show me your friends, and I'll show you your... Show me your friends, and I'll... Some of you need to get some new friends. Hey, listen. It is okay to have friends that don't know Jesus. It is okay to have friends. But where oftentimes we mess up, we allow those friends to pull us away from Jesus by what they're doing. You could still be their friend. You could still love them, but you still don't have to do what they do and their behaviors. You could set a standard in your life and say, no, guys, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that way because God's got a calling on my life, and I want to fulfill that purpose, and I don't want to be distracted by that. I want you guys to look in here. Look across this room. Look at the person on this side. Look at the person on this side. You guys look at whoever. Look. Look at everyone in here. When you leave camp, you guys are lucky because when I came to camp here, you know how I had to keep in contact with people? I had to write letters. You guys don't even know what that's about. All right. All right. But you guys have cell phones. You guys stay connected. And you know what? My 8-year-old stays connected with more people than I even know. He's constantly messaging people all over the place. Like, he's talking to people in the church, and I'm like, what in the world? But you guys have a way to connect. And let me tell you, use that to your advantage. You could see someone here that you guys had a great time here at camp. But you could say, hey, when I leave here, we may not live in the same town, but will you keep me accountable? Will you remind me to keep the fire going in my life? Will you help me out? Will you stand with me? You guys hear what I'm saying? Listen, Brandon, is Brandon in here? Is he here? Is he not here? I don't know where he's at. Is he hiding? No, he's not here. It's all right. But Brandon, the DYD here, he is one of my good friends. Matt is one of my good friends. Guess what? These are guys that I went to camp with. Guess what? I still have a relationship with them. We still talk. A lot of people that I went to school with, I don't talk to, but guess who I talk to? I talk to Brandon and I talk to Matt. You know what? Iron sharpens iron. Show me your friends. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Look, there's a story in the Old Testament that God told Moses to hold up this rod. And he said, as long as you hold up your rod, Moses, the army down below, the Israelites are fighting and they will win the battle. And Moses is sitting there and he's holding up this rod. And as long as he's doing that, they're winning. But guess what? If you hold something like this for a long time, your arms get tired, right? And Moses is up there, not to mention the guy's like 80 years old, okay? And he's sitting there holding this rod, and there he is, and they're winning. And as he's getting tired, it's coming down. And as it's coming down, the battlefield begins to change, and there's a shift in the battlefield. And they begin to lose the battle. But look at this. There's two guys that come up behind Moses. While he's tired and while he's struggling, there's this man named Aaron, which is Moses' right-hand man, and this other guy named Hur, which is weird. And he comes up, and they hold this rod, and they help Moses lift it up until the Israelites win victory. Listen, you need friends like that. That's it. Someone that's going to lift you up, someone that's going to hold you accountable. Number four. Everyone say, passion for godly relationships. I like this one, passion for praise. Number four, passion for praise. Say it again. Man, I love to see you guys worship like you guys do here. You know what? Take it home. You want to freak out your senior pastor? So go up front and start worshiping the Lord. Be like, hey, you be the catalyst. You be the catalyst in your church. Oh, I'm young. They may not want me up there. Say, I need to seek Jesus. I'm gonna go up front. Come on, bring another piece of log on here. Let's keep stoking this fire. I want to say, keep stoking the fire. Passion for praise. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18 says this. Rejoice always. Everyone say, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give your thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Praise is not just something that we do here at camp. Worship is not just something here for camp. It doesn't have to stop right here. It can go with you. Listen, you could be the catalyst of revival when you go home. You could be the one to come into your church and to say, Lord, we need to stoke the fire in this building. I want to be the one that's passionate about worship and about praise. Lord, if that's me, let that be me. If people look at me funny when I'm up here raising my hands, so what? I love you. It's not just for camp. It's for you at home. It's for your church at home and your youth group at home. I love that scripture because it says praise in all circumstance. That means the good times, the bad times, the fun times, the sad times. Doesn't matter what it is, praise. All circumstances. What happens is sometimes we lose our praise because something bad's happened. It's like, I don't feel like praising today. Do it anyways. Do it anyways. See, the scripture tells us, there's a scripture that says that God inhabits the praise of his people. That means he basically comes and he's enthroned in our praises. Or he comes and he sits on our praises. The Bible says this, that he is going to and fro across the earth looking for someone to praise him. And I say this, be passionate about praise and say, hey, Lord, let that be me. Let that be me. Lord, stoke the fire in my life. I don't want to lose the passion in my life, but Lord, I know I can praise you, Lord, and that's going to stoke the fire in my life. Everyone say, passion for praise. Here's number five. Everyone say, number five. One more. Or is there another one right here? All right, go ahead and bring them both. Number five, passion for prayer. Say it, passion for prayer.
Passion for
What's number one? Passion for what? Number two? Passion for holiness. Number three? Passion for godly relationships. Number four? Number five? Prayer is how we talk to God. And you can't expect the fire in your life to keep going if you don't ever talk to God. Let me tell you what you did when you came here. You opened a door. You got all this stuff out of your life, and you're speaking clearly to the Lord. When you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit, God's speaking to you clearly here, right? God speaks to you clearly here because all the distractions are gone and all these things are gone, and God's just pouring into your life. And it's clear. But look at this. I want to show you something. As I was studying for this and I was thinking about this, you know what Jesus' secret weapon was? Prayer. It was. His secret weapon was prayer. When Jesus walked this earth, there were people who tried to figure out where his power comes from. Some people thought it came from devils, and some people thought it was tricks and illusions. But Jesus, he didn't worry about that. Jesus, basically, he told us where his power comes from. He said, my power comes from the Father. And when he talks about the Father, he would pray these prayers. Thy will be done. You, Lord. Luke chapter 5, verse 6 says this, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You say, oh, I'm busy. When I get home, I've got practices. School's going to start. I got church. I got to hang out with my friends. I got all these things like this. Listen, nobody... Jesus was a busy man when he was here on earth. Matter of fact, Jesus was so busy, he was performing miracles, and every place he'd go, people would just try to find him. They would just come out of the woodwork to find him because they needed a miracle from him. Matter of fact, Jesus would almost have to hide at nighttime because people would try to find him at night that didn't want to talk to him in the day. They were scared to talk to him. They'd come find him at night to see where he was at. But Jesus understood this principle. He understood that if he needed to keep the fire burning, he needed to pull himself away and kill all the distractions and say, hey, I need to pray. If I could tell you anything, one of the key things that is going to stoke the fire in your life is a prayer life. The devil is scared to death when you start to pray. Because you know what it does? It opens this avenue. And you begin to speak to God, and he begins to speak to you. You say, oh, does God speak audibly? Yeah, he does, but let me tell you something. Usually he speaks to me. I've never heard God audibly. I can admit that. But he speaks to me in the stillness of my heart. And he tells me things. Hey, TJ, that you probably shouldn't have said that. You're right, Lord. I'm sorry. We have this open relationship. And here's the thing. Prayer is not just me telling God everything. It's stopping and listening sometimes. Hey, God, what are you saying to me? And Jesus, he simply prayed. And I wonder what would happen if we simply followed Jesus' example and made time where we pulled away from our schedule and got away from our phone and got away from our computers and got away from our TVs and got away from our distractions. And really prayed to the Father and said, hey, thy will be done in my life. That was Jesus' key to success. He understood where his strength came from. And I believe this. Prayer changes things, and prayer changes me. Prayer changes circumstances around me, but prayer changes me. And that's why in my life I have to stoke the fire. The sparks, we're talking about sparks, keeping the fire going. The scripture that we read said, it must not go out. But here's the thing, if you want your passion to keep going, you got to take ownership of it. You got to take responsibility for it. Oh, that may mean I might have to sacrifice some things. I might have to not play my Xbox as long. It means I may have to go... Make sure that I get up in the morning and I pray or pray before I go to sleep or make sure that I have godly friends. And I may have to let some friends go and find some new friends who are going to help my relationship with Jesus. Last night I talked about Jeremiah and how God called him. And I'm ending right here. And he appointed him to be a great prophet. And after this great calling that Jeremiah had in chapter 1, he begins to walk it out every day. And if you know anything about the story of Jeremiah, he had a very tough assignment. He preached and nobody listened. His whole life, he just preached and he 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 nobody would really listen to him. But look at this. The fire was stoked in chapter 1. We talked about that last night. God gave his calling. But we need to understand this. The fire must not go out. But look at this. In Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah was preaching, and he was tired. He's like, man, I've been preaching. And matter of fact, when I was studying this, the subheading in my Bible said, Jeremiah complains to God. Anybody ever felt like complaining to God? And Jeremiah, he was struggling. He was walking out his calling, and he's struggling, and he's complains to God. And in this text, he begins to complain to God. And he's like, God, they're making a mockery of me, the things that I say. I am the joke in all the households of Israel, the things that I'm saying. And he's kind of just thrown it out there, and no one's responding to me. He starts complaining. And as he begins complaining, he says, Lord, I feel like I'm just a big joke to these people, making fun of me. I feel like giving up. But in verse 9 of the 20th chapter, he recalls his source. Wait a second. I'm complaining. Things aren't looking good, but I know where my source is. Look at this. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 says this. But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, look at this. His word burns in my heart like a... It's like a... In my... I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. Here's the thing. When you get tired, when you feel like, hey, this relationship with Jesus is starting to be tough, I want you to remember where your source comes from. Your source comes from him and him alone. And listen, if you want to stoke the fire in your life, love on people. Tell them about Jesus. Make Jesus famous. Number two, have godly friends. People that will hold you up. People that will hold you accountable. That won't let you slip and say, you ought to not be doing that. God's got a calling on your life. Don't mess it up. You ought to be the first person to praise in your church. You ought to be the first person that when they see you, they're like, man, that person just loves Jesus so much. And I love that. And you ought to be passionate about prayer. I know that's not exciting, right? But let me tell you something. If you want it to keep going, you got to stoke the fire. Everyone bow your head. God, in this moment, God, this is a very simple word, but a profound word. It's something that we can take home that's applicable, that we can use every day. God, when we get home and we get back into our routine, God, may we not forget the fire that started here and the source that started that fire. But God, help us to be strong enough to find godly friends, to pray, to be holy, to be set apart, passionate about praise. God, your word is simple. We overcomplicate it a lot. We make it harder than it has to be. God, tonight I pray, Lord, that as you're touching hearts in this building right now, God, that lives would be changed. This is what I want you guys to do. Look at me. We're going to do something different. Say, oh, man, we liked it last night. This is what I'm going to tell you. This is a new day. God has new mercies and new blessings each and every morning. This is a new day. God's got something new for you today. What happened yesterday was yesterday's news. Today, God's got something else for you. You guys believe that? This is what I want you to do. I want you guys, with as little amount of chaos as you can, I'll do it this way. Give me all my counselors. Give me all my counselors. All my counselors. If you're with someone else, I want you guys to stay together with your counselors. Like, if you're a team, co-counselors. I want you to find your dorm. Find your counselor. Find your dorm. Go. Come on.